The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Denver, let's go!
I'm a survivor.
Yes, sir.
You can throw me in the jungle and, you know, I'm going to come out with a fur coat, a headband that I made out of some leaves, and, you know. So, man, it's just, I feel like, man, it's just about surviving.
Get the whole team a fur coat, man. Back of the end zone, it is caught. Beauty of a ball on a perfect touchdown pass from Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater throwing, across the body, completes Saubert again. Has the big tight end down the sideline. Eric Saubert becoming a factor in the game.
Bridgewater will step up and look to run. Oh, nice move. And another juke for Bridgewater. He didn't come in here to be a backup.
He's trying to escape, can't get out of there. And Von Miller made sure that, listen, I don't know how much better Von Miller could play.
They need the 42.
Oh, he's knocked down from behind, hit by Von Miller. Von Miller has just sacked his 50th different quarterback.
Nah,
we gotta go out there and kill those guys. So we gotta go out there and kill them. You know, we got high expectations for our season.
Right?
You just gotta go out there and kill them. Start
kill
them.
Giants
are in trouble. Sacked again, and it's Von Miller. That is the 100th sack of his career.
There you go.
Now Spencer the other way, and he's got blockers in front. Spencer at midfield, down the sideline. But Deontay Spencer will go the distance.
You may see some surprises, to be honest with you, this weekend.
Pat Shermer is a riverboat gambler. Last play, go to KJ Hamler.
Looking deep for Hamler. He's got a step. He's got it. Touchdown, Denver. Second of the day for Hamler.
What's up, bro?
Third and 14. Watson, wobbly. Oh, what a big time hit by Jackson.
And now this is the play they need. Melvin Gordon has basically ended this ballgame.
Here goes Mahomes, third and four. Flicks his hand, and down he goes. Put down by Bradley Chubb.
Intercepted. Surtain down the sideline. Touchdown, Broncos. And it's all clicking for Denver this afternoon.
First rounder right there.
I think he's the real monster. He's just so physically gifted. Dude, if he keeps building on it and keeps figuring it out, he's going to be one of the best tight ends in the league.
Shovel pass, touchdown, Albert Okwuegbunam.
There you go.
Like a monster.
Lock has protection and throws, and it is caught. It's Albert O, his big tight end, Okwuegbunam.
Douses the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Third and 15 going deep. He's got Judy downfield. Big time pickup of 26.
Let's go!
I see you, Ricky. I feel you.
you, Richie. I feel it in my bones,
wow.
Richie. I feel it in my bones.
Look at Richie. He throws on his 18 Broncos shirt. There you go, my man.
Man, I do feel like a monster right now. I'm not going to lie.
Whee!
I feel like a monster. I feel like I'm ready to play.
Let's go. Let's go. Oh, come on.
Football back.
Nobody motivates you better than your mama.
I changed my prediction. Forget it all. We're winning the ship. We're in. We're undefeated, baby. Let's go.
I'll take a call or more. Gabriel.
Bring some heat, Gabriel.
Gabriel, what do you got to say, Gabriel?
It's up, Broncos country. It's Fighter Up Friday. And I'm rocking with Steady Teddy throwing three TDs. And we're going to release the monster and get a picnic to the house. I got my Broncos winning 28-10 in the Meadowlands. Don't at me.
Yes, sir.
It's Friday, baby. It's Friday.
Yes, sir.
Bumble Friday.
Don't at me. Come on, baby. Let's go.
Don't at me.
Super Bowl champs.
Oh, my God. All right.
It's year great seven job. For Teddy, baby. That's when it comes together. Year seven. That's the magic year.
It is?
That's the year. That's the year.
It is the year. I'm excited.
Dude, I got goosebumps. I'm not even playing around.
You know what you do hope for? I mean, you know you hope the Broncos Giants game sound like
Brady under center. Brown in motion. Snap, spin. He rolls to the far side. Brady throws on the run. It's caught by the back defenders.
You just hope that. Come on, Tyler. Can we get that?
Yes. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Noah Fant's back, baby. He can do that.
I know Tom Brady has like 50 come from behind victories and.
Don't do this. Not today. No, sir.
Said he has six.
You're totally exaggerating.
What? All right, let's get it. Let's look at this. Let's look at the keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. Tyler, number one key to the game.
Hey, man, it's pretty simple. This Giants team does not have a strong offense. We're probably going to have to win a low-scoring game, so how do we do that? Well, you control Saquon Barkley. Saquon's coming back. We don't know how much he's going to play. We don't know how much he's going to be unleashed. He might have a little bit of rust, but if you make the Giants throw the ball, we will be in a great situation. If the Giants are running the ball and if we let Saquon Barkley run free, we will have problems. But as long as you control their running game, put the ball in Daniel Jones' hands, we got a great chance to win.
Key number one for me is attack Andre Thomas and Nate Solder. You know, I'm reading, it was supposed to be that Pert guy who was supposed to play right tackle, not Nate, and Pert just is not good. And that's essentially what, it's not an injury situation. It's like the guy just doesn't, specifically, he sucks at his sets. That's what I read.
Like he's bad at football.
What he needs to do,
okay.
I'm assuming taking sets as an offensive lineman.
So that's like pass protection. Yeah, it's pretty integral part of playing offensive line.
Yeah, I read a review from his offensive line coach. It was comical. Like, he doesn't know how to do it. He can't do it.
Well, that's not good, but he's not playing. Yeah.
Well, Nate's starting, but Pert might have some rotation sort of thing. It wasn't supposed to be Nate Solder at all.
Nate wasn't supposed to make the team, for the record.
Right.
He was making too much money, and he was coming back. The goal, the idea, was that they were going to move on from Nate, but they had to keep him.
I think it's Sam Pert, something like that. It's not Neil. Rest in peace. But anyway, attack Solder, who we love, but it's not even supposed to be there. And Vaughn most likely will face Nate most of the day. And let's hope a combination of Bradley Chubb, but he's going to be managed, Jonathan Cooper, Malik Reed, whatever they got going on there, can take advantage of Andre Thomas, who looks borderline first-round bust is what he's looking like right now. That's my first key. Second key for you.
All right, second key is you better have a dang game plan for Leonard Williams, because that dude is a game disruptor. It's not very often that you need to game plan around an interior defensive lineman, but when you walk up there, especially in empty protection, you better send the slide to Leonard Williams. This dude had 11.5 sacks last year. He had over 60 pressures. He flat out knows how to get to the quarterback. So when we've got the ability to adjust the slide, our center center needs to be on his P's and Q's, and he needs to send the help and make sure you get a double team on Leonard Williams as often as you can in pass protection.
My second key for the game is you've got to be able to handle your emotions on a very emotional weekend. So I think they're in the right mindset, Tyler, because they've talked quite a bit about this being the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. A lot of players have recognized that. It's obviously been a topic of conversation. While paying due respect and handling the emotions initially, you've just got to be able to just hang in there with it. I think that is going to be a big part of it, because the emotional swing will clearly be on the Giants fan, and the home crowd should be amazingly emotional with it. So just know it, expect it, and manage it the best you can.
Okay. All right. I love it. I love it. Game or key number three for me, get your hand on the ball as often you can when Daniel Jones is holding it, because this dude is a turnover machine. He only threw 12 interceptions last year. Not good, but that was not the real problem. Daniel Jones has started 25 career games. In those 25 career games, he's got 29 fumbles. 29. The dude puts the ball on the ground at an alarming pace. So if you get near Daniel Jones, honestly, forget going for the sack. Go for the dang ball, because that ball will pop out and you will create turnovers.
Key number three for me, do what you promised, and that is limit the turnovers. Be steady Teddy. Now more than ever, Tyler. I mean, I think it's why you essentially got the job in the first place. Play like that guy. Don't play panicky. Don't freak out. Be the chill Teddy that you claim to be, which everybody believes. But we didn't see Teddy make a lot of mistakes late in the Panthers season last year. We don't need to see that Teddy. Okay? So just be who you are, Teddy. Be chill. And I think everything will be all right in that department.
Okay.
So it's time to make our picks. The Denver Broncos pick of the week is presented by King Soopers, the official grocery sponsor of the Denver Broncos. You want first dibs, or you want me to go first?
Either you can go first, buddy. Go for it.
All right. I see a relatively close game, but I do see Daniel Jones being Daniel Jones. And whether it's a sack fumble, like you just talked about, he's wont to do, or he makes a stupid mistake, like he actually did, unbelievably, in that final Giants-Patriots preseason game, thrown across his body from the five-yard line. Are you kidding me? In the end zone? I think it's a close game, but the Broncos take advantage of a mistake like that. I think our red zone defense holds up against the Giants. I think the Broncos win 27-18.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, this is going to be a low-scoring affair. I don't think that they're going to score as many points as you do, but I'm not far off. We're actually very close in our overall prediction. You know, it's a bad Giants offense going up against, well, at least a questionable Broncos offense. A great Giants defense going up against a great Broncos defense. It's going to be a low-scoring affair. I think the MVP of the game is going to be Brandon McManus. He's probably going to have himself five field goals in this game. It's going to be a 23-17 victory for the Denver Broncos with Brandon McManus leading the charge.
How do you see us ahead and they come back? Do you see us something dramatic? I mean, 23-17,
well, like I said,
like a touchdown?
I see five field goals for Brandon McManus.
Okay.
I see us.
Do you see us struggling in the red zone a little bit, obviously?
I think we're not an offensive powerhouse, and we're going up against a really strong Giants defense. Strong Giants defense.
But we both have the Broncos winning and off and running. By the way, is Stokely sticking with the Giants win this game, Richie? Is he still, or did he get orange fever on a Friday?
No, he switched his pick. He switched his pick because he picked the Giants and pick them, but then picked the Broncos publicly on the air, and so he had to get the two on the same page.
But he did?
He did.
Yeah, we're looking for those hypocrites out there on the fan staff, by the way.
We got our eye on you, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We do.
He knew. I think he felt like my presence might increase the, like, you know, the chance that he would get caught in something like that.
I seem to recall Mike Evans being guilty of, I'm going to say one thing on the air and do something off the air. I mean, you can,
Do we have everyone's predictions? Do we know what the entire staff did?
I should be able to actually look at that, right? Through Pick'em.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's the problem, is that Pick'em hasn't always coincided with what people have said on air.
Correct.
Pick'em is the law.
I agree.
I mean, because that's where you got something on the line.
I remember who really messed around with this. It was Orlando last year. He was all over the place saying one thing.
To Orlando's credit, that dude would make changes like up to the minute of the game.
I'm trying to see Well, maybe you can give us, do we know who everybody picked? Do we have a recording of where everybody is at this late date on a Friday, Richie?
I feel like it took us a while to get trained into this routine last year because we'd always ask Richie and Kevin for everybody's picks. So, you know, this is week one. You know, we got to knock a little rust off by week two. We'll have them trained. They'll be ready to rock and roll. They'll have everybody's picks for us. No training camp this year. Abbreviated.
No. Where's my OTAs?
Right. Well, I'm looking for Zach Bye. I'm looking at Pick'em right now.
All right, tell me what we got.
Well, Zach Bye has the Broncos. Brandon Stokely has the Broncos. Where's our guy, Raj? Raj has the Broncos. It's kind of a painstaking way to do it, but I can try. We got Stink has the Broncos. Mike has the Broncos. Cecil has the Broncos. Holy cow! Do we have any traitors in our midst as I go through this? Sandy has the Broncos. D-Mac has the Broncos.
Hold on. Is this true? This can't be true.
John Davis has the Broncos. Yes.
Someone on the text line says that myself, Stokely, and Evans all predicted 23-17. Is that true?
Right? Oh, I don't know.
That can't be true.
There you go. Parker has the Broncos. Rachel has the Broncos. Nick has the Broncos.
Oh, we're all in.
Oh, man.
We're all in.
It's a clean sweep.
Let's go.
Is there anybody? Oh, well, we got Nate and Chad, right?
No calling us haters on the graphic this week.
James Merrillette.
Shut up. You're lying. I don't even believe you.
James Merrillette has the Giants.
I don't even believe you. Of course he does. Of course James has the Giants. Are you kidding me? Because he's so mad that Drew didn't win the job that he's going to just pick the Giants. What's his overall season prediction? Now I'm curious what James' season prediction.
I think it's 10-7.
Are you kidding me?
So hold on, I actually have
the Broncos winning 10 football games this year, but they're going to drop a road game to the Giants, one of the most winnable road games on our entire schedule. He's got us dropping that one. Come on, James. I know you're upset. I know you're ticked off that Drew didn't win the job, but goodness.
I have the world's worst filing system. Hey, Richie, you still have a copy of like our bowl predictions and all that stuff? I really do have the worst filing system.
I have a copy of it, but James did not include his own prediction in that article, so I just texted him and asked him.
All right. All right, well, he has Drotar has the Broncos. I'm looking for Chad and Nate.
Did you give me Sandy? I forget.
Sandy has the Broncos.
Okay.
Johnny Hart, Broncos. Dan Jacobs got the Giants.
Of course.
Chad Brown has the Broncos. I'm just missing Nate Jackson, I think.
And Dan Jacobs is a James Merrillat wannabe. He's like the contrarian wannabe, right? Like, he's like, oh, James, I want to be just like you. I'm just going to say contrarian things.
Yeah. And Nate has not made his picks.
That's right, Dan. You heard me. I know you're listening.
Does Nate know how to do pick 'em on the computer or a cell phone or a Ouija board or whatever? Ouija.
Wow.
Or with...
evil?
With candles.
Wow. Candles also super evil.
What is that? Oh, he's got him 6-11? Wow. Okay.
Yeesh. I believe that's two games lower than any other person on the stage.
That coincides with the Giants' loss. I'll at least give him credit for being consistent there.
It is. We went through that. 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. That was it. Those were the three records, and he's got him 6-11. Wow. James is, James hates Fangio, though.
And he also hates Teddy.
Let me correct my hates Fangio as a coach. I have no idea how he feels about him personally. You can't. If he hates Teddy, it's definitely Teddy as a quarterback. Because what I'm seeing out there, Teddy Bridgewater is one of the most likable dudes I've ever seen with the Broncos. Period. I'll give you a little moment I saw today, Tyler, being out there. Is they're practicing at the field house.
Yep.
And you know you have that walk from the field house over the arid, dry, Sahara-like playing practice field back to the cool confines of the locker room. And here come the quarterbacks. And take it for what it's worth. But I've seen different in years past. They all, three of them, came back together with Hamler and Jerry Jeudy. They were doing some extra work after practice was over. And Tyler, they were all walking together, just loose, joking around. And you may say, well, of course, D-Mac, that's not a big deal. I'm telling you, there have been years out there that watching the quarterbacks as a group finish up practice and like walk back to the building together hardly ever happens for whatever reason. In particular, Peyton. The times that I saw Peyton like walk back into the building with Brock were limited over the 4 years that they were together. Peyton always had something else he wanted to work on and usually was sort of like an individual thing. Maybe it was just handoff with a receiver or handoffs with a running back, or just he would always spend extra time with somebody else who may play in the game that he just wanted to get a rhythm with. And Brock would just kind of go off and do his own thing. Peyton was much more friendly with, say, like Trevor Siemian. And just over the years, you think like Kyle Orton was like walking hand in hand with Tim Tebow off the field? I mean, no. I mean, hardly ever. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or it means anything. I'm just telling you the relationship that I'm seeing now just to say that is what's going on.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, that you do seem to have, at least on the surface, a very cohesive relationship with these guys that are together. So it's not, it doesn't feel like it's some backbiting, angry, bitter sort of feeling right there.
Well, that's
it doesn't
cool, man.
Feel like it's a negative factor at all.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I wouldn't say that's a good thing. It's a bad thing. I wouldn't say it's anything. I would say cool. That's great. I mean, honestly, I'm glad to hear it. You know, there's no reason for them to have animosity towards one another. There's no reason for them to not coexist well. And, you know, if Drew's smart, he'll play this thing like a pro. And if he gets an opportunity, he'll be out there. And you can't, you know what? You won't succeed if that opportunity comes your way if you're living in spite. And if you're living in anger, because you won't be preparing the way that you need to be. So that's cool, man.
Marilat. So what did I say? Marilat and Dan Jacobs, is that it? That's not a lot, man. We got a lot of people. Well, just for the, hey, Richie, what do you got? You got the Broncos winning?
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, before you even begin, what's your season prediction? I mean, your hesitation on this. Now I want to know your season prediction.
I mean,
God, wearing all that gear.
Eight,
you gonna pick
8-9? 8-9.
Right. So just realize this is a feel good Friday. Like, talk about bringing the vibes down.
Richie,
right now.
Is this one of the 8 or one of the 9? What are you, Mike Kliss? Just give us an answer.
Seriously, yeah, thank you.
Holy cow.
For the love.
You've had 8 months to think.
You guys are going to ask me to make a prediction? Do I have to make a prediction? Want me to make a prediction?
No,
we want you to make a prediction.
I think they're going to drop one of these first three, but I don't think it'll
be this
one.
Oh, my gosh.
It won't be this one. They're
going to turn his mic off.
They're going to win. So they're going to
turn your own mic off.
They're going to lose to the Jags or the Jets.
I think so.
They're going to win. That was the conclusion.
Watch how this is done.
Talk about conviction.
I know.
Goodness.
Kevin, are the Broncos going to win?
They win. They finish the season 8-9.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. All right.
Some disappointing losses down the line in Kevin's world, but that's okay.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, that's what I had him.
A win will taste great with some chicken fingers, maybe some honey barbecue. Yeah, man. Oh, we do.
We got Victory Monday back. We got it back.
Do we also have Consolation Monday?
Just
important detail that I'm not sure of.
I think it was like Feel Bad For You Monday over the last couple of years, where Dells was just like, you know, it's been a rough go. We're gonna send you the food anyways.
Victory Monday is what we're rooting for, but we'll take Yellow Cake Monday as well. Consolation Monday. Not really called yellow cake, right? No, that's like something you find lemon cake. Who said yellow cake?
It's not uranium.
I mean, right?
We did have a yellow cake.
All right.
Yellow cake.
Off and running. Hey, you got a question for Tyler? For Tyler. For Tyler.
You know what? That sounds like empowering. I kind of like it. Yeah, no worries.
Tyler?
Yeah, sure.
When you have your fourth daughter, Tyler. Uh-huh. For Tyler. 303-713-1043, Mount Palumbus Peak is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Columbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Columbus on this day?
Dude, you're getting called out about your math for your...
Clutch. Don't worry about the math. Don't worry about the specifics. Just when I hit it on the nail, just know that I got it perfect 23-17.
Yeah, but you called out like a 5 field goals.
You know, 5-ish, right? And might maybe a missed extra point in there. You might have a safety. Right. There's a lot of ways we could get there, D-Mac.
6-2-0. So Tyler has 5 field goals and a touchdown with a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, maybe there was a missed extra point in there. Sure. Who knows?
Mount Palomas Peak is powered by 5280 exteriors. Two questions, I'll combine them. One, do the Giants have an advantage because they know Pat Shurmur so well? And from Ken and Aurora, do you think Pat Shurmur could get caught up in revenge, call a bad game, and cost the Broncos the game by calling too many passes?
Mount Palomas.
I mean, I almost laugh at that second one because it's not even about being a revenge game for Pat Shurmur. Yeah, he's going to want to coach a good game. Yeah, he's going to want to go out there and score a lot of points because he's a human being, and human beings like to prove other people wrong. So, sure, Pat Shurmur might have something that he's got to prove. But if he calls too many passes, it's not because of that. It's because that's who Pat Shurmur is. My biggest question mark with Pat Shurmur is, can he actually call a game plan, stay consistent with it, that Teddy Bridgewater needs to succeed? Can he call enough runs on first and second down? Can he stay in heavy personnel? Can he call the play action? Or is he going to default to what he's always been and what he's always going to be? And is he going to go into three wide the second you get down by 7 points? That is for sure a concern with Pat Shurmur. I do worry about him calling the correct game plan for Teddy Bridgewater. And honestly, that would have gone for Drew Lock as well. He needs to stay committed to the run, and he needs to keep his quarterback underneath center. That's just not his normal tendencies. The other question in regards to, do the Giants have the upper hand because they know Pat Shurmur? No, no. I mean, first off, how many guys are even on the team? I don't know. It could go the other way around. Like, coaches might have the upper hand when they know the personnel, when they know the weaknesses, the strengths, where they know how to expose somebody. But players, what are players going to have over a coach? So we know some of your tendencies. It's pretty hard to predict that. We certainly don't have any way to expose you. You're not out there on the field. We still have to respond to whatever plays you call. Giants have no advantage with Pat Shurmur being over here.
Pat Shurmur made a joke today at Broncos practice.
Oh, how was that? Did you laugh? Was it awkward?
Did
you mean it? Was it genuine? Was it LOL?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So they opened up the garage door. We weren't allowed to step inside the field house. Some of the COVID stuff you're really going to laugh at. But they opened up the garage doors. We could stand just outside. That must have, can you imagine what that must have looked like to the players? All of a sudden the garage doors open up and there's like 30 dorks just lined up watching them.
The players probably like, that's what you deserve. Right. That's what you should, where you should be right. All the time. From here on out, you guys can watch from outside those garage doors. You know what? Maybe somebody can get an elevated platform, try to stand on somebody's shoulders. You know, where did you stand? I mean, you had been in the front row because goodness, Lord knows you couldn't see anything.
Well,
anyways.
I was trying to climb up Alberto's back.
Right.
But that didn't work out well. We must look like the biggest assorted set of dysfunctional dorks you could ever imagine in your life when you anyways, the doors go up and the quarterbacks and tight ends, it was pretty cool. We were right there. They were doing, you know, back of the end zone sort of throwing drills. They were going to do some stuff in that area. And then Pat Shurmur actually came over and talked to one of the PR guys, Nathan, he looks like he could play. He is the biggest, most athletic PR person they've ever had in the history of the Broncos. It's like 6'4", 230, but he tells Nathan, he goes, hey man, you might want to tell the media guys, you know, watch out. Now he didn't come over and tell us that, but he comes over and tells the media PR guy that. So Nathan comes over, hey guys, you know, heads up, they're going to do these drills, and Shurmur's walking right past us, and somebody goes to him, well, you know, coach, you know, they may want to throw at us, joking around.
Right.
And Pat Shurmur said, well, you know, and somebody goes, well, which one of us do you think they'd want to throw at these days, Pat.
Right.
And
right.
Pat Shermer looks over his left shoulder and goes,
all of you.
Dealer's choice.
Chuckle. That's not LOL. That's
that's
chuckle.
Dealer's choice.
That's a chuckle. Now, I mean, LOL would have been like if he said DMACC. Like if he would have been.
That would have been something. That would have been
McKee,
something.
Right? Now that would have been LOL.
That would have been something.
Yeah.
He's not quite to that. I don't know if he knows who everybody is. But let me ask you about.
Oh, everybody knows you.
I don't think so.
Nah, everybody knows you.
Nah, I don't know. I don't think Fangio knows who I am.
You know, begin the season, a lot of the PR guys, they'll give out a pamphlet that's got a bio on all the media members.
Yeah.
And they'll kind of run through it with the entire team and they'll be like, hey, this is Mike Kliss. Like,
yeah.
It's harmless. Don't worry about it. You know, this is Kisla. Like, don't talk to him.
Oh.
If you talk to Kisla, he will absolutely destroy you. He'll try to trade you. He'll try to fire you tomorrow, right?
Okay.
They'll give you the rundown and they do give you a little brief synopsis of who all these guys are. So I'd be surprised if your name doesn't come up. I would.
You know what? Okay. I would be surprised if it does. I don't think most of the people know have any idea who I am. And I don't think Pat Shermer or Vic Fangio has a clue as to who I am. I know Kubiak knew who I was.
I know Elway knew.
Oh, Elway knows. Fly away today. He was out there. He didn't say hi.
Did you say hi?
No. It's awkward.
Really?
Just got to get through like 4 more months. Then we'll be best friends.
Wow.
I'll see him up in Coeur d'Alene. Yesterday, 58 passes. Come on now. Tahoe. 58 passes for the Cowboys, 50 passes for the Buccaneers. So that's a combined 108 passing attempts.
Yeah.
18 rushing attempts by the Cowboys, 14 for the Buccaneers, 32 total.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to overreact. We all remember like that Chiefs-Rams game where everybody was freaking out like every game is going to be 53-50 in the NFL. And so I'm not trying to overreact. However, let me just ask you from Pat Shermer's perspective. Do you think he thinks this really is the way the NFL should be played?
Oh, absolutely. I think Pat thinks that, and that's a concern of mine because you got to coach your personnel, and you can't just call every game the way that you want to, even if you think that that's the future of the NFL. You got to know who your guys are, and you got to understand that if you ask Teddy Bridgewater to throw the ball over 50 times per game, you're going to have problems. Things are not going well. So if the Broncos ever get to the point where we're doing that, that means we're down by at least 17 points in the second half. Like things are not going well. The Broncos need to make a commitment. And even if we were down by 14 points going into the second half, you need to stay committed to the running game because you got to give your quarterback successful, easy throws. Look, Teddy Bridgewater won the job. He was the better of the two quarterbacks. That doesn't mean that he's out there. He's going to beat Dak Prescott or he could beat Tom Brady. He is who he is. And you got to manage and you got to call a game plan that is appropriate for him.
All right, let's have some fun. We get to our prop bets. We love prop bets. The kind of the quirkiness of how the game's going to go that should dictate who wins and loses. That's next.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Oh, I love this, man. Prop bets for the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, man, we did not have training camp.
We didn't?
Well,
I thought we had training camp.
Well, they didn't have radio training camp.
Oh, right, right.
Am I hosting this, or is this Richie that's doing this? I forgot how we actually did it. It's Richie, right? Or is it me? Richie, who is it? Is it me or you? Well, I don't know. I forgot how we did it.
Guys, I don't know. I think it's Richie. I think it's Richie.
I thought it was Richie, too. Am I right?
It was. I just had to go get my standing car on my headphones.
All right.
I had to run in the other room.
All right, let's go. Come on. Let's have some fun.
All right, let's do it. So, Steady Teddy, passing yards, over, under, 246 and a hook.
I'll say under.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely going to be an under. Teddy Bridgewater, in his career, has only averaged over 240 yards per game. one time. And you combine that with a very talented secondary for the Giants. Mark told us it's a very confusing secondary with their coverages and everything. No way Teddy's throwing over 246.
Next.
All right, I like this one. I almost went with touchdowns, but I think this one's a little bit more fun from Superbook. Teddy Bridgewater's longest completion of the day, over under 36 and a half.
I will take...
Hold on, just real quick. Oh. We're a small technicality here, okay? Are we talking, like, yards in the air caught, or are we counting yak?
You got to count yak because that's how they count it as an official.
All right.
I will go over, and here's why. When you watch Teddy, inevitably, because he is dink and dunk, as long as you have the lead, and I saw this with the Panthers, teams would just creep, and he would tend to beat him over the top for at least one per game. Not a lot.
Yeah.
It was usually like one, but one's all it takes for this, so I'll say over.
Well, when you're a good running team, chunk yardage is not hard. When you throw the ball, you should get a big chunk. However, my prediction is that this comes, I'm taking the over as well, but my prediction is this comes on like a 12-yard slant route to Jerry Jeudy.
Fine.
That Jerry Jeudy just houses.
That is a great play, by the way. And I think that'll happen a lot this year, too. Next!
All right, so for the life of me, and we tried, I know a lot of the people at the station tried, we could not find concrete season total rushing numbers for Melvin Gordon. We could only find him for Javonte Williams, which I found strange. But Superbook has for this game over under 49.5 rushing yards for Melvin Gordon specifically.
Okay. I will take the over, and I looked at this earlier, and I did some math calculations. I think Melvin Gordon will get 16 carries at least. I think he'll average 3.4. That puts him at 54.4. I will take the over.
I'm going to take the under in this one. Javonte Williams is going to get involved. It's not a secret that they want this dude involved, and they're going to involve him very early. They're going to involve him in week one. That's not a coincidence that you could find Javonte Williams totals, but you couldn't find Melvin Gordon because Vegas is, they're concerned, like, what's going to go on here? Like, they're wondering what the situation is going to be with the Broncos with Melvin Gordon. I know you think it's going to be his best year of his career. I do not. I'm taking the under.
Next.
All right, so we're going to have them both on the field at the same time for the first time in what feels like forever. So over under combined sacks from Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, 2.5.
Hey, real quick, do you happen to know, no problem if you don't, do you happen to know how many games total these two guys have started at the same time?
I get it. I don't know what
I mean, in all their years here, I bet you they've started less than like,
I thought it was 12 or something.
I was going to say 12. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I could have sworn I saw that somewhere this week. It was some number like that.
Yeah, and I love the question because when we got Bradley Chubb, it felt like we were going to have DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller all over again, right?
Sure did.
I'm taking the over in this one. Andrew Thomas has been struggling. Nate Solder's making the first start of his career at right tackle. He's playing out of position. And Von Miller looks great. Bradley Chubb looks great. I don't know if Bradley's going to be healthy. I don't know if he'll be playing at full speed or not. But I know this. When Bradley has been healthy in training camp, he has been terrorizing Garrett Bowles. I'll take the over.
I will take the under. However, I think the Broncos will get at least 4 sacks in this game. And I'm just hesitant on this because of the limitations of Chubb. And I do think he'll just be rotated quite often. So I just don't think he'll have the opportunity this week like he will in future weeks. And I'm high on Malik Reed, Jonathan Cooper, and some sort of inside presence as well. So I'll take the under, but I do think the Broncos will get 4 sacks in this game. And it wouldn't surprise me if Vaughn got 2, but still that'd be under 2.5. So I'll take the under, but I'm still optimistic that they put pressure on Daniel Chubb.
Well, I'll give you this. You make sense. I mean, if Bradley Chubb is going to be limited, certainly you've got a lot of logic behind what you're saying. I guess I'm just going on the optimistic side that if these two are out there, I know that Bradley Chubb has looked tremendous. So I'm hopeful that he's going to be unleashed.
I'll give you this, though. If you can't get pressure with these two dudes, if you can't get pressure 20 games together, thank you, Kevin, more than 12, 20 games together. Still, for 4 years, I mean, that's like nothing. If you can't get pressure on these two dudes, I'm not exactly sure who you are going to get pressure on. This may be the weakest set of offensive tackles the Broncos go against the whole year. How about that? So, take it for what it's worth. Anything else? Any other ones? Or
yeah,
we got
kind of spontaneously a listener submission, which I think we could turn into a fun rotating thing. But somebody asked you guys on Twitter to make a bet on the number of three and outs for the Broncos in this game.
I love it.
D-Mac set the line himself, so I didn't have to do it because he said three.
And you had to make a slight adjustment because three doesn't make sense.
Correct. You got to have a hook or it's a rookie number.
Right.
So
right.
I, because D-Mac said it wouldn't be more than three, set it at 3.5 so that he has to take the under. And I would assume you would take the over?
Yes, I am absolutely. First off, I like this idea. Let's get a listener submission.
Too, right?
A listener submission every week. I like that. You guys can make a coffee bet for us every Friday during this segment. We will use one of your suggestions. Are we in agreement? I like it.
A coffee bet we have blatantly ripped off from the Zoakley show.
Right. I mean, that was just outright thievery. Yeah. I'm sorry, Brandon and Zach.
I think those two invented cocoa beans.
They might
cocoa beans.
I am taking the over on this one.
Cocoa beans,
dude. Teddy Bridgewater.
Stop laughing.
First, I got the joke. I got it. Teddy Bridgewater. First start of the season. Broncos offense that has been struggling. No way you can tell me going up against a top flight defense like the Giants have that they're going to go out there on the road in the first game of the year and they're not going to have at least 4-3 and outs. Absolutely. Easiest coffee I've ever won.
Okay. All right, we'll see how that goes. One more quick one, Richie?
Yeah, I'll give you one more quick one because I'm suddenly, you know, it's getting close to week one. I'm feeling the sting.
Yes, got the mojo.
I'm feeling a little bit of excitement, but a little bit of sting from that Tennessee Titans game and all the timeout mismanagement.
Give me something that we're going to love, like that we could actually love. I would love that, huh?
All right. Number of timeouts used by Vic Fangio in the game. Over or under 3.5? 4.5?
Four and a half.
I like 4.5 better.
All right. So you got 6 total in a game. You got 3 per half.
Right.
Vic Fangio, we know he's not too quick to use those timeouts. Oh, boy. You know what? I'm taking the over. He's out to prove a point. All you haters out there that think I don't know what timeouts are, I'm using them all. I'm using all 6 timeouts in this game.
I got a 27-18, so I'll take the under. I think they're going to be winning. I don't think they're going to need them. I think they're going
to... He's going to prove a point. He's been listening. I know how to manage the clock. I will use my timeouts this year.
We've got a big 6 o'clock hour. Mike Kliss will join us. John Clayton will join us. The top 6 is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.